Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study, which began in Daniel 12:2, titled Heaven and Hell in the Old Testament. This is part 2 of 2.
And he'd been dead and gone a long time before Jesus came. He was dust. But there came a day when the bodies of the Old Testament saints resurrected, and he put on that, just like he says right here, this has already been fulfilled. Job, I believe, was saved. he was saved whenever Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and paid for his sins, and those Old Testament saints were resurrected. Job was one of them. And that's when he saw his God with nail scars. And then it says Jesus took them to heaven. Amen? So there's a little bit here that does require some New Testament revelation to get the whole picture. But we see the basic core teachings about heaven right here in the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament even tells us the location of heaven. I had a guy tell me something that, you know, the Old Testament doesn't even talk about heaven. Doesn't even tell us anything about heaven. It tells you exactly where it's at. He says, no, it does not. Yes, it does. Let's start with Psalm 48:2. You're in Job, so just go to the right side there for a few pages. Psalm 48. And verse 2. I'll start reading verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. That's heaven. He's talking about heaven. Read verse 2. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is your word king capitalized there?
Yeah.
That's talking about New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is where? The sides of the north. Now, of course, we don't want to base our doctrine on one single passage. So turn over to Psalm 75. A few more pages to the right. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. Verse 5 explains why I'm so relaxed up here. Because the Bible says, lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. Just being biblical. Then verse 6 and 7, read it with me. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. And I had this guy say, well, they just, the psalmist forgot one. No. Promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, or the south. Which direction does it come from?
North.
Because why? Because God is where? And what's north? In the Old Testament? There you go. Oh, but we're not done. Let's go to Isaiah. And let's look at when Isaiah speaks of the king of Babylon. And then reverts to speaking to the spirit behind the king of Babylon in verse 12 and says, how art thou fallen from heaven? What's the context here? Lucifer fell from where? O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So, where was he at? He was in heaven. Well, where's heaven? Well, let's see. We're going to see a quote. This is a quote from Lucifer. Verse 13, read it. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the
north.
There it is again. Every time there's any identification of the direction of heaven, it's always north. It doesn't matter whether you're in China or if you're in that Antarctica ice crust around the flat earth or if you're in Canada. It doesn't matter where you are on planet earth. Find out which direction is north. And I've heard people say, well, what if you were on Jupiter? The Bible wasn't written to people on Jupiter. So, what if he was on, you know, the planet Kolob? That's a non. It's a question. So the Bible is written to sinners on this planet, and God said to anyone on this planet, if you want to know which direction heaven is, find out which direction is north. That's in all this is in the Old Testament. So now let's look at hell and the lake of fire in the Old Testament. First of all, they start again in Daniel 12:2 when it said that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, that again, that is the core truth about hell. And by the way, you do have to think this through, but who is holding them in contempt? God. Hell begins with the core truth of shame and everlasting contempt. You are separated from God. That's the core truth of hell. There'll be flames. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There'll be other things. But the core truth is shame and everlasting contempt. Reality check. This cannot just be the grave, can it? That's what people try to teach, that hell is just referring to the grave. Well, in the grave, when it says some are raised from the grave, so it can't be the grave. There's something beyond the grave for the wicked. In the Old Testament, teaches that. Shame and everlasting contempt. Billions are in the grave and forgotten. This is something from those who are raised from the grave. In Psalm 139:8, the psalmist says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Now, do you think he's talking about Jupiter? This is the Old Testament. If I make my bed where? Behold, thou art there. Now again, that can't be talking about the grave. If he makes his bed in hell and it's just the grave, there's no consciousness there. It's just a body. Even those who don't agree with us on what we believe about the resurrection, everybody's in agreement. When the body goes into the ground, there's nothing but a body there. Yeah. There's no consciousness. So this reference to hell is not just grave. You can't be alive in a grave. The person spoken of in this previous verse, is conscious. There's life in this hell. So it's not the grave. David speaks of hell as a place where he would be conscious. He would know what was going on. The Old Testament tells us the location of hell. Old Testament. Look at Psalm 86:3. I'm sorry, Psalm 86:13. Dyslexia is when you mix numbers and letters. What is it when you just delete some? I've got my own form of Psalm 86:13. Verse 12 says, I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forever. Read 13 with me. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. That's like I said, when we were a kid, people would say, if you don't straighten up, you're going to go down there. Because we weren't allowed to say the word hell. Like it was a bad word. Hey, a bad word's a place. It can be used like a bad word, but if you're telling somebody they need to get saved or they'll go to hell, you're not cussing. But anyway, you say, you're going to go down there. And then they have people, well, we don't know really where hell is. Well, let's start with the fact that it's called the lowest hell. And so that gives you the idea of it being low, right? Look at Proverbs 15:24. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Verse 24, read that. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell. Where?
Beneath.
So you mean the little kid pointing and saying, if you don't get right with God, you're going to go down there. Beneath? That kid's smarter than a lot of theologians. Amen. Isaiah 14:15. We were just there. I should have told you to keep that finger there, but oh well. Some of you need to let your fingers do the walking. Get a little experience flipping the pages or flipping the screen or whatever you're doing. Isaiah 14, we read that Isaiah 14:14 said, I will be like the Most High. He said, I will ascend above the heights of clouds. I will be like the Most High. And then God stops and speaks in verse 15 and says this. Read it with me. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Hell is low, it is beneath, it is down, and it is a pit. Now, I'm no geologist or anything, but do you ever see pits in the air? Pits in the sky? And one more, Isaiah, go to the right, you'll see Jeremiah, and then Lamentations, and then Ezekiel, chapter 31. Ezekiel 31. And I'm giving you enough evidence, enough proof to see what's in here, and then you can go and continue as you read through your Bible. There's plenty of other verses, plenty of other biblical truth to support what we're studying tonight. But Ezekiel 31:16, look what it says there. Good, and read it with me. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water, shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. There you go. I rest my case. Beneath, down, lower parts of the earth. There it says, descend into the pit. And it says right there, those last few words, nether parts of the earth. Now right there is saying that hell is below your feet in the nether parts of the earth. Now, here's why people... I might have put a screenshot up here. I can't remember if I did. Let me look. Yeah, this is an example. There's a website, godandscience.org, where a guy's trying to convince people who are really into science and people who are atheists. He says, as noted before, none of these verses says that hell is under the earth. Really? In fact, the Bible says that the earth will be destroyed and that Hades, or the grave, will be thrown into hell, the lake of fire. See how confused and mangled? Hell is not the lake of fire. But he just put in parentheses as though hell is the lake of fire. And that then leads him to say, I can almost hear him giggle. It would be rather difficult for hell to be thrown into itself. That would be really funny if it wasn't stupid. Hell is not the lake of fire. Hell is not going to be cast into itself. But think about how dumb this statement is. He is saying that hell is the lake of fire, and then saying it would be awful hard for hell to be cast into itself. He just refuted himself. Hell is Hades. That's translated hell. Sheol and Gehenna in Hebrew, and then getting the words mixed up in my mind. Sheol and Gehenna in the Old Testament, Hades in the New Testament. Or the Old Testament was originally in Greek, the Old Testament was originally in Hebrew, and the New Testament in Greek. These guys don't know Greek or Hebrew. But the problem really isn't the Hebrew or the Greek. The problem is heresy begets heresy. Once you teach that hell is the lake of fire, and then you've already said that hell is Hades, then you have hell being cast into hell. And that would be impossible. But the Bible says that Hades is hell, and the lake of fire, which we read mostly in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, is the eternal abode of the damned, where hell and the grave are cast into the lake of fire. That's just the kind of nonsense you run into, these people who are desperate to put air conditioning in hell. That's really what it's all about. And we're going to close with Jesus explaining the whole thing. Look at Luke 16:19. Luke 16:19. That's where we'll close it up. And then we'll take up questions. And now keep in mind, when Jesus is talking here in Luke 16, it's still Old Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But the events that they give an account to up until the crucifixion of Christ, you're reading the 69th week of Daniel. Isn't that something? You got to keep that in mind. And so here Jesus is describing this, Luke 16:19, and he says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So you get the picture. And now Jesus is going to explain to us what the Old Testament teaching on heaven and hell is that we already got. We already got most of this information before Jesus told us this. It's in the Old Testament. But he's going to give us a little extra information, but he's still under the Old Testament when he says this, by the way. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Hell and paradise, Abraham's bosom, are next door to each other in the nether parts of the earth at this time, at the time that Jesus is talking. He says in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Very interesting. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now look at verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In hell, you could actually see Abraham and all the believers. But there was a gulf between hell and paradise, or Abraham's bosom. That gulf, in mythology and in rock and roll, is known as Styx, S-T-Y-X. And that's between heaven and hell. And it was impossible for anybody to go from one side to the other. They were both in the earth. They were both beneath, in the lowest parts, in the nether parts of the earth. Now, again, we don't have time to go through the whole teaching, but we've done it before and we'll do it again if the Lord tarries. And we know that Jesus, when He died on the cross, His body was laid in the tomb. He went to the nether parts of the earth. He declared His victory over sin. And when He did so, the people in hell heard a message of condemnation. Those in paradise heard a message of deliverance. And then that day, I believe this happened the day He died on the cross, because that day the Old Testament saints rose bodily. They were seen in Jerusalem walking around. Jesus took captivity captive. No, they weren't walking like this. They probably looked so good, you know. You know when Moses came down off the mountain and his head glowed? That's probably what they looked like. An amazing thing. But so, there you go. When people say the Old Testament doesn't talk about heaven or hell, ignorance, or they're just unsaved and don't get it, you know. Yeah, Johnny?
Okay, so I noticed two of those references. And I guess I'm just not familiar 100% what this phrase means. But it said, and it's also interesting to notice the parallel between the two. But for heaven, it mentions the sides of the north. And for hell, it mentions the sides of the pit.
Yeah.
So what do you think it...
I think it means that it has walls. Build that wall. Amen? Heaven has walls. Heaven also has gates. The New Jerusalem has gates. Hell has gates and walls. And when it says the sides, I believe it's talking about the fact that it has walls. It is a four square city in heaven. City four square, as we sing. Charlie?
So, in Isaiah 14, verse 15 and 16, it's talking about this verse. It says, Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell beside the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that hath made the earth tremble, that is changed kingdoms? It's just, like, it continues on from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. Like, we've been told for centuries, thousands of years, what happens to Satan. And people, like, they know, like, you have, like, it's right here in the book. It tells you
what
his end is. And people still run away from Christ. And
people
run towards the lie.
Unbelief is insanity.
It's
insane. Yeah, Isaiah 14. One of those chapters that are just amazing. You know, the chapters that don't seem amazing to us a lot of times just because we haven't dug into it. But Isaiah 14 is one of those that's amazing. It just stands out. You don't have to do a lot of digging. You can see the amazement. Kim?
Back to your sermon again. I don't know if you guys have heard of the current Christian artist named Lauren Beagle.
Yes.
She came out and she claimed to be a Christian, but she couldn't say whether she got homosexuality was a sin or the good and how she just repented of that sin.
Yeah, there it is again. Because someone I like, because someone I like commits a sin, suddenly it's no longer a sin? It makes no sense. What if the person you like robbed a bank? Well, I don't want to say it's wrong to rob a bank because someone I love robs banks. Think how dumb that is.
She also said she doesn't want to be considered a Christian artist anymore, just an artist.
Yeah, well, I think that's... That would be good. I mean, as long as she's not going to take a Christian stand.
She won an award for Christian.
Sadly, and that's why, you know, I don't stand up here and condemn it, but we've had conversations before about contemporary Christian music, and I don't promote it. I know too much about it to promote it. It's full of homosexuals. It's full of fakes and frauds. And so many of the people who have been in Christian contemporary music did just long enough so they could make money and make it into the secular, and then they're just like, and that's shame. Jill?
I've been wanting to ask you this for a while now. I'm thinking of Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
There is a song about Jesus leaving the 99 to get the one, and they said that was reckless love. Is that not blasphemy?
I don't know if I'd call it blasphemy, but it's silly at best. And it's this. That's another thing about contemporary music, is they're always trying to sound, bring the world's terminology. And, huh? Yeah, like the Athenians in the Book of Acts, always something new, something new. And
it just irritates me to death that they would call my Savior
reckless. Yeah, and you know, that's not a but they would argue, well, I don't mean it in a bad way, I think it's good, but it's still, you know, it's the same thing though as we, I think in the last week or so I talked about how they say Jesus hung out with sinners. You know, that's not true. Jesus never hung out with sinners. Well, what they mean is they can go party, they can go to the bars, they can go to the secular rock concerts where everybody's smoking pot and everything, and that's, I'm just doing what Jesus did. See? No, Jesus had dinner a couple of times. He did go to an unsaved man's house, but he didn't go there to hang out. He went there to preach the gospel, which was him. He went there to preach himself. And so if we go to those places, and I mean, you know, if we go to some place where there's unsaved people and we present the gospel, that's fine. But, you know, and I know we go places. We go to sporting events, or our niece or nephew has a recital or something. That's different. But what they're using as an excuse to go to parties, places where people are getting drunk and smoking pot and that kind of thing. And it's very close to being blasphemous to pretend that Jesus had anything to do with that. You had your hand up, young lady. What was you going to ask?
I closed my Bible.
Why?
Yeah.
You have to.
Because in Ezekiel, you went over it already, but
Yeah.
Ezekiel 36, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't notice that before, but that is that last phrase referring to paradise, because it talks about,
yeah, that's what it, there's hell and paradise.
And I never noticed that I mean, I knew paradise had two parts and one part, you know,
yeah,
but that was pretty cool.
Did y'all get that? And that Ezekiel 31:16, it's talking about hell and paradise being in the nether parts of the earth.
Because in hell you're not comforted if you're the man.
Right.
But it says all that drink water shall be comforted in another person's earth. And then Luke 16, it's interesting that the rich man in hell wanted to dip his hand.
Water.
Water. There was water on
the other side. He probably could hear the waterfalls.
Yeah. That's cool. I never
mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, it is. All right. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in this amazing book. We thank you for the truth you've given us. Help us to never take man's word for anything. If a man is speaking about this book, we should go to the book and confirm what we're being told, like the Bereans in Acts 17.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.